As always, God has blessed us, as it was in the Bible class this morning, just blessed us with a beautiful day of life and an opportunity that we can assemble upon the Lord's Day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm always encouraged to be with you, and I appreciate you being here. It's a beautiful day. You could be elsewhere, but you chose to be here, and so I thank you for doing that. That's encouraging. I hope that it's mutual and you feel the same way. Especially, we appreciate our visitors for being with us. Some of you are return visitors, some for the first time. And so we appreciate you for being with us. We hope we make you feel welcome and that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. It's such a joy to see good friends of ours from Perry County, Wayne and Vicki Joseph. Me and Wayne did a lot of preaching together in Perry County. He does a good job, and he's had some health problems, so we need to continue to remember him in prayers. Their son, Benjamin, who's been here with us several times, has left to go to boot camp with the United States Marine Corps in Parris Island, South Carolina. So we need to continue to remember him and all those that are given really their time and such a good number of years to service so that we could be gathered together doing what we're doing this morning. To worship God without fear of oppression from those on the outside. And so we appreciate all of you for being here. Take your Bible out, follow along with me, and make sure that what I say is right. I'm not the standard. And if I miss the mark, you feel free to let me know that. And if I'm wrong about it, I'll make correction of it. And even from the pulpit, I'll publicly correct it, never preach it again. That God would be pleased with what we undertake to do. Last Sunday morning, we talked about some things that Paul did not do. And I gave you about 11 things that Paul did not do. And of course, there's many more you could add to that. But we talked about 11 things that Paul did not do. This morning, we're going to talk about some things that Paul did do and follow up to that lesson. There's just a host of things. You could just go on, talking about things that Paul did. And I'm going to share with you just a few, maybe 10 or 11 things that Paul did. And it's a good study for all of us. The first one that I want us to think about is the fact that Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue. You may say, preacher, what on earth is that about? Paul's background was that he was a Jew. A very educated man, brought up, knew the law of Moses very well. And as he would write in the book of Galatians chapter 1, he's very zealous of the traditions of his fathers, always persecuting the church, thinking all the while that he was doing the Lord's work and doing service for God, but that wasn't the case. But he's very zealous, very educated. Again, he was a Jew. He states in places that he was a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. And again, he's very zealous of the tradition of his fathers. He cared about the Jews, those of his ancestry. And I know that's the case because in the book of Romans chapter 10, begin with verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, my heart, this is Paul writing to the church of Christ at Rome. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In other words, they're not saved, but I want them to be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So Israel was lost, and Paul longed for his kinsmen to be saved. When Paul was converted to Christianity, by the way, he was not converted on the road to Damascus. He was simply told by the Lord on the road to Damascus to go to the city. And he would be told there what he must do. Acts chapter 9, you read about that. When Paul went to the city and the God-sent preacher Ananias came to him, told him what he had to do in order to become a Christian, he without delay obeyed. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But after his conversion, he was busy about preaching the gospel beginning in Acts chapter 13. Straightway, he preached Christ. And often, as Paul's manner was, as described in the book of Acts, he would go into the synagogue. A synagogue was not the temple. A synagogue was a structure that was erected where the law of Moses was read. Where folks, Old Testament Jews, gathered together and they read the scriptures and prayed. The temple in the city of Jerusalem is a place where they were to worship God. The synagogue was a reading place where they gathered together to read the scriptures. And over in the book of Acts, as Paul went from town to town, doing the Lord's work, You'll find that the text says Paul went into the synagogue of the Jews. And there he would reason with the Jews that the Old Testament prophesied of the coming Savior and that Jesus of Nazareth fit the bill, that he fulfilled those Old Testament scriptures. Give you some references for that. You can jot them down or pick up an outline in the back. Acts chapter 13, verse 5, verse 14, chapter 14, verses 1 and 17, or verse 1 rather, and then in chapter 17, verses 1 and 10. All those times and more you could add to them. When Paul went to the synagogue. Well, what's the application for us to do as we think about what Paul did? We need to go teach people. I wish I had an opportunity. If folks were to call me and say, Donnie, you know, can you come? We're having a meeting on Tuesday night down at the local Baptist church. Would you come and teach us? You better believe I'd go. Wouldn't you, men, want to go and to teach them the gospel? I had such a good series of lessons I have told you along the way, and about 13, almost half the congregation of the Back Memorial Church in Breathitt County came out to their meeting house to have a Bible study. And I'm thankful for that. We need to be willing to teach the gospel to anybody, anywhere, any day, any time that we have opportunity to do that. Preach the gospel. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 2. Are you ready to do that? All of us should be willing, able and ready, as Paul was, stated that he was in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he talked about the fact in verse 16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But I tell you something else Paul did. As we're talking about some things that he did, not all the things, we'd be here for a good length of time. We're just talking about some of the things Paul did. And one of them that I want you to understand is from the book of Philippians chapter 3. And then verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and then verse 7. Notice what Paul stated. He stated in verse 6 concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Very educated man. He knew the law. Had standing. Had position. But now notice what he says. Begin with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul says the things that I had back there in my previous manner of life, I count the loss. Gave those things up. It may be the case that when we obey the gospel, we've got to give some things up. We've got to turn loose of some things that we might even hold dear. Position, influence, material possessions, relationships, and the list goes on. Paul says, I count all things lost that I might gain Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so Paul said, I count all things but loss. And you think about the things we've studied from the book of Acts, continuing to study, that the apostles suffered, beginning in Acts chapter 3. Now think about the import of that. The church was established in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 3, as they go into the temple and a miracle is performed, they began to be persecuted. The very next chapter, threatened, beaten, imprisoned. But they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, Acts 5 and then verse 42. And when Paul talks about many things that they suffer, not only in the text that I just gave you, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we have no reason to complain, do we? We're not suffering to the degree that they were, yet. And I hope that we don't. But also, Paul was made all things to all men. Come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law. And by the way, I've made mention to you many times, when you study the Bible, when you run across that word as, you need to underscore it. He's making a comparison. As and like. I became as a Jew to them that were under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. We'll stop there and make a side note. Some folks today think, well, the law of Moses is done away with, and it is, Colossians chapter 20 and verse 14. But now beside the cross we are under no law. That's not what Paul said. Paul said to them that are without law, as without law. Now notice this parenthetical statement that he qualifies that statement with. Being not without law to God, but under law to Christ. Yes, we're under law today. A perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1 verse 25. The law of Christ. Galatians 6 and in verse 2. He says that I might gain them that are without law. Till the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means, watch this, save some. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That was the reason Paul did that. Paul was willing to preach to any that would listen to the message. And when folks rejected it and counted the counsel of God as nothing more than to be trampled on, then he would go on and preach to those that would listen. And we need to be willing to do the same. Make all things to all men. Peter said, now I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In Acts chapter 10 and in verse 34. And James would write in James chapter 2 and in verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus with respect of persons. God is no respecter of persons. We need not, must not be respect of persons, but to be made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And before any take the idea and run with it, Paul's not saying that I condone what they're doing or that I did what they did. But he's getting the point across, is that I did not shun to declare the counsel of God to all men. That's what he's saying. He would preach it to all, regardless of who they were. But also, as you think about some things that Paul did, Paul named names. It's amazing to me, and I'm not talking about people in the religious world. Of course, they don't want to do things that are controversial. By and large, most of the time. But I'm talking about within the Lord's body. Brethren shy away from calling names. And they say, well, you're going to offend people. Or that's just mean. Don't do that. Well, obviously we don't do things to be mean, do we? And we don't say things to be hurtful. And we don't do things because we want to upset people for that reason. But we preach the gospel that folks might obey. And when people say, well, you shouldn't call names, you shouldn't call denominations out for what they're doing, they'd have a problem with Paul. Let me give you some examples of that in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to notice what the Bible says as Paul is writing to Timothy. I wonder if Paul had enough backbone, enough concern, enough boldness to name names. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 19 beginning, he says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom is, now watch this, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul, how dare you? Don't you know you're going to hurt their feelings? Well, they're never going to come back. And Paul's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he named names. Well, maybe he learned his lesson. Someone got to griping about that, got onto him, and he said, well, I'll never do it again. Well, that's not the case. You come over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul, it's a companion letter. He wrote 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy to young Timothy, his son in the faith, 1 Timothy 1:2 and 2 Timothy 1:2. And notice what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 17. And their word, back up to verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Cancer, some versions say. Of whom is Hymenaeus, and Philetus. Paul didn't shun to call folks out under this condition. Now watch what he says. Not only does he say, he says their word will increase, will eat, as doth the cancer, just spreads. And he calls them out, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and he tells what they did. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. There's churches of Christ today that hold the persuasion that in A.D. 70, the return of the Lord took place, the resurrection took place, and the judgment has already took place in the first century. I know I've talked to some of them. And yet in the first century, when Paul wrote this, he says that Hymenaeus and Philetus overthrew the faith of some, teaching that very thing, that the resurrection has already taken place. Well, then you come to the end of 2 Timothy. Paul's at it again, talking about one called a man named Alexander, the coppersmith. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 10, he talks about Demas forsaking me, having loved this present world, and is parted unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Other folks left me. Luke is with me. And he named their names. And then he talks about Alexander the coppersmith in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Did Paul name names? He sure did. Well, preacher, that was just individuals, but really you ought not call out religious groups. You know who they'd have a problem with? Jesus. Because in Matthew chapter 23, one of the strongest rebukes of any religious group of people was to the scribes and the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew chapter 23. At least three times Jesus said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" The Pharisees were nothing more than a sect of the Jews. Kind of like the Sadducees, though they didn't believe the same thing in every area. But yet they were a religious sect, a religious division in the first century. And they were called out by the Lord. But also, as you think about things Paul did, he withstood to the face. And we talked about boldness this morning, frankness and forthrightness in our Bible class. The Bible says that Paul withstood Peter to the face because he was to be blamed. And he says that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. The King James Version says it's a word that means hypocrisy. And you'll read about that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 and following. Withstood to the face. Also 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 and 11. Well, his writings are powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. You know what Paul responded to that and said? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. When I'm with you, I'll be much more bold, as bold, in presence as in absence. And I've got 1 Corinthians 10, 10, 11 in the outline, and that's not the right passage, so I will get that for you before you leave. But Paul, to the face, withstood people. And folks today will not name names or withstand individuals. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. He says, "Let such one think this, and such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." Got to have backbone. Concern for others, a readiness to withstand individuals to the face when they're to be blamed. But also something I appreciate about Paul, and I hope you do too, as we talk about things Paul did. And that is, Paul was consistent in his preaching. Suppose Paul, I guess, preached one thing somewhere, and then he'd go somewhere else and contradict himself and teach something else. Is that what he did? Maybe Paul would go to one place that had a problem with adultery and he'd preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but he'd go to another place where they had a problem with it and he was scared and wouldn't do it there. That's not what kind of preacher Paul was. You want the passage? In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 20, notice what Paul stated as he's talking to the Ephesian elders, the elders of the Church of Christ at Ephesus, while he was at Miletus. He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. While Paul taught in public, he preached from house to house. Not that he had an inconsistency in his preaching. Then I think about the passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and then verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, or Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, and watch this, of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's consistency in preaching. What I preach at Mill Street, I ought to be willing to preach anywhere else I go. And what I preach elsewhere in a gospel meeting, whatever the case may be, I ought to preach it here. If not, there's a problem. You agree? But also, as you appreciate the things that Paul did, he gave credit to the right source. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What not? Paul wasn't all about me, myself, and I. Look what I did. But gave credit to whom credit was due. By God's grace I am what I am. And He was with me. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I mentioned to you the wrongdoing that Alexander the coppersmith did to him. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord was with me and strengthened me. He talks about the fact that the Lord would deliver him. He gave credit to the right source. And then in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17, I do want you to look at that as we just talked about this passage. Why did the Lord deliver Paul? That by me the preaching might be made fully known. And he talks about that the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What we do, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to give credit unto God who strengthens us to do what we're able to do. I lay me down and sleep. I wait for the Lord to sustain me, David talked about in Psalm 3, as the Lord sustained me. But also as you think about that, I think about a man who did not give credit unto the Lord. You know what happened to him? A man in the New Testament, upon one occasion, gave a speech to the people, and the people said, it is the voice of an angel and not of man, or of a God and not of man. The Bible says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. He was eaten of worms and died. That's in Acts chapter 12, and that was Herod. Because he gave not God the glory. And you think about all the times in, as we talk about in the book of Acts, when the apostles were persecuted, they would come back and tell the people what God had done with them. Not what they accomplished, but what God did with them. And that ought to encourage us all. But also, this one can be a tough one. Are you ready for it? He encouraged church discipline. It's almost an unheard of thing today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and following, a man that was guilty of fornication, Paul says, and not even named so much among the Gentiles that one would have his father's wife. And rather than to deal with that problem, they were puffed up about it. Paul said, your glory's not good. Know you not that a little leaven at the whole lump. If you let sin fester and don't deal with it, guess what? It'll leaven the whole lump. The entire congregation will be affected by it. And eventually not be recognized of the Lord as His people. you don't think that's the case, read Revelation chapters 2 and 3. But evidently, I wonder if when Paul rebuked them, if it had any fruit that came forth from it. I wonder if it did any good. Some folks think God's plan on discipline will not work. I'm here to tell you otherwise. It will work. In fact, it did work because Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and following. How that the man had repented and Paul urges them to take him back. But also, as you think about things Paul did what you did today. You got yourself up and you readied yourself and you came out to worship God. Paul did that. Are you aware of that? In Acts chapter 20, and then verse 7, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Acts 20 and verse 7. Paul was busy on the Lord's day doing what you're doing today. Gathered together in a fashion like this to worship God in spirit and in truth. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, of yourselves together. The application is to us as well. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10. Verse 25. We've got to stand on guard. You need to come every time the door is open. Every single time you have opportunity to come, this is where you need to be. And what I say to you, I say to me first. But also, as you think about things Paul did, Paul practiced what he preached. Ray did a very good job on the scripture reading for 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. Again, it's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. The Lord practiced what He preached. I know so, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The doing comes before the teaching until He was taken up. The Bible talks about Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And Paul wrote, as recorded in Romans 2, verse 1, beginning, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Why? Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Keep reading. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Practice what you preach. Number 10, or 11 rather. Paul obeyed without delay. I shared with you from Acts 26 last week. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He obeyed it in Acts 9, verse 18. Forthwith, he arose. That means immediately, straightway, arose and obeyed. Was baptized. Now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. Immediately, forthwith, he did that. He obeyed without delay. I delayed not, made haste to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119 and verse 60. Last point. Number 12. 12 things Paul did. What would you put? If you was developing the sermon outline, what point would you put? How appropriate it would be to end with his words recorded in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. The time of my departing is at hand. Finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. What did you do, Paul? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, as a result of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearance. That includes you and me, if we'll obey. Finish what God has told us to do, as revealed in His Word. Keep the faith. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58, that crown of life can be yours as well. And this life is over. Suppose you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian, not a child of God. Why not become one this morning? You have a perfect opportunity to do that on such a beautiful day. And if you leave here this morning not a Christian, you may never get another opportunity to do that. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? You do exactly what they did in the Bible. Hear the gospel, Romans 8:17. Believe it. John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be immersed, baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And when you do that, all your sins will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. And He'll add you to the one church of the New Testament, the church of Christ, Acts 2:47. Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that. You've not been faithful as you should, and you went back out into the world of sin, but you've come to yourself, and you realize you had it better when you was with the Father, and you want to come home, straighten all that up, and start anew. You can't through repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer, and we have His assurance that He'll forgive. 1 John 1:9, don't delay, come right now.